Hi, I'm Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Hello, Intelligence Unclassified listeners. My name is Angie Gadd, and I'm an intelligence analyst with the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. So today I'm going to be discussing the kill list released by the pro-ISIS hacking groups. And today I'm joined with one of our OHSP detectives who will be discussing the duty to warn, which is really when the detectives go out to inform individuals once they've been mentioned on a kill list. So I really wanted to touch on several points. How are these kill lists released? Where are they released? And who are they released by? And whether these kill lists have actually posed any threat to individuals that have been mentioned on them. So where are these kill lists released? The lists are released by these pro-ISIS hacking groups on encrypted social media messaging apps, mostly Telegram. So the list of the names will be initially released on Just Paste It, and the link to the Just Paste It site will be posted on the Telegram channel. The lifespan for the list is a very short period of time before they are removed off the internet. So when we're looking at the pro-ISIS hacking groups, these groups act independently and are not officially associated with ISIS in Iraq and Syria, with the exception of one group, and I'll get into that in a minute. The main pro-ISIS hacking groups that have released kill lists in the past are the United Cyber Caliphate, the Cyber Caliphate Army, and the Islamic State Hacking Division. So we're looking at the United Cyber Caliphate, or UCC. So the United Cyber Caliphate is an umbrella group of a new alliance of pro-ISIS hackers. It consists of four hacking groups, including the Cyber Caliphate Army. So this merger was announced in April 2016. Now, the Islamic State Hacking Division is the group that is officially affiliated with ISIS in Iraq and Syria. However, that group has only released a few lists, and we haven't seen them very active at all lately, primarily because the individual running this group, Junaid Hussein, was killed in an airstrike last year. So when we're looking at the sophistication of these groups, they're considered relatively unsophisticated. They employ common hacking techniques. What I tend to tell people is anyone with a laptop, internet connection, and Google can really do what these groups are doing. Most of the personally identifiable information that they're releasing in the kill lists are publicly accessible. They're open. They're on the internet. They really employ very low-level cyber activities. So to give you some statistics, there's been a total of 23 kill lists that have targeted U.S. citizens since March of 2015. 8 of these lists were released in July alone. Looking internationally and in the U.S., over 98,000 individuals have been mentioned on these lists. However, this figure includes duplicates. When we're looking specifically in New Jersey, there have been 239 New Jersey residents mentioned on the lists as of August 16th. When we're looking at the target choices for the kill lists specific to New Jersey, the targets included the New Jersey Transit Police, ordinary civilians, including a most recent list that included New Jersey residents that released the personally identifiable information of church and synagogue members. Now, to our knowledge, no American has been physically targeted or been the victim of any type of fraud as a result of a pro-ISIS group releasing their personally identifiable information. Looking more broadly at the kill lists, targets include law enforcement, government officials, military personnel, civilians, and in several instances, we've seen lists released revealing the locations of NATO bases overseas and U.S. military bases internationally. And then also we've seen them target religious facilities as well. So I'm going to hand it over now to our OHSP detective, and he will talk about the duty to warn.
Thank you. A lot of questions on duty to warn and how it's conducted. It all starts when the published list is identified by law enforcement agencies. Once law enforcement gets those lists, they're broken out into different entities. If the list is military, then the military will handle the duty to warn. If it's another police agency, that agency will do the duty to warn to their own people. And also entities, you know, like businesses, they'll be allowed to warn their own people. This way, it doesn't come as a total shock. Once the lists are compiled here in New Jersey, the state conducts an additional scrub of the list, make sure there's nobody who's deceased. Maybe they moved out of state, because then we have to go and notify that state to let them know to conduct the duty to warn. The remaining people on those lists are divvied up into the different counties, and the law enforcement agencies are notified, such as the county prosecutor's office and also the local police department for that particular location where that person has been identified. The way things are conducted currently is we notify the individual person as well as the address or addresses listed for that person on that particular list. So that can be double duty. Some people move, some people are deceased. So what we have to do is find that person, physically notify them, and then also notify that physical address, which can be a task in itself. Typically, when we go and we notify the person, it'll be two officers, usually two detectives. We typically like to get the local police department involved. This way they are aware of the threat, and that we tend to have a uniformed officer with us when we conduct these duty to warn. Eases the tension on the person when they see a local police department person there, just for credibility on our part, and also that they know that the locals have a vested interest in them. Once the duty to warn is conducted, what we usually tell the people that typically none of their personal identifiers are released. Typically, it's only a name and an address on these kill lists, that they weren't hacked. There hasn't been any identity theft as a result of these kill lists, at least that we're aware of. Nobody's opened up credit cards. Nobody's tried to do anything nefarious with their identities. And that also that none of these people have, as Angie stated, have been specifically targeted, either the address or the name. We also advise them to be a little more vigilant. We'll give them a little flyer that outlines the 8 signs of terrorism, so they have a little knowledge, give them a little knowledge when we leave. And we encourage them to manage their footprint online. In this day and age, the internet is everywhere and everybody's on the internet. We ask them just to be a little more vigilant on that and on social media.
So some of the key takeaways from this podcast that I wanted to touch on before we conclude, that again, like the OHSP detective just stated, no individual in the U.S. or internationally has ever been a target of one of these kill lists. The groups releasing the kill lists are not, again, officially affiliated with ISIS in Iraq and Syria, nor has ISIS ever endorsed or distributed these kill lists on their official social media channels. Again, like I've said, the capabilities of these pro-ISIS hacking groups are unsophisticated and amateur. So just to give you an idea, since July 25th, there have been no new or unique kill lists released. And I know that sounds like a short period of time, but considering how active and how consistently these groups have been releasing the lists, not having a new kill list come out since July 25th is a big deal. So they have been releasing, since July 25th, they have been releasing old or recycled kill lists that were released last year. And I think the purpose behind that is to just prove that they're like, hey, we're still here, or we're still functional or relevant. But clearly, that's not the case. Just last night, I saw them post that they were responsible for shutting down Twitter. But again, this could be sort of an opportunistic thing. Twitter was experiencing some problems last night, and they just took a screenshot of the troubleshoot page for Twitter and kind of posted it, claiming responsibility for it. But again, that could have just been a problem specific with Twitter. And again, you see these groups trying to consistently capitalize on certain events and claim responsibility for them and maintain their relevance. So thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.